Podcast! I'm Robert Evans. This is Behind the Bastards.
Assemble!
Wide awake.
Sophie is angry at me for that opening. This is the podcast where we talk about all the things you didn't know about terrible people, and we laugh sometimes, too. We're talking about Mark Zuckerberg. This is part two, so you shouldn't need a normal intro. If you're listening to part two, you saw in the title, this is part two. You know what's going on here. My guests, as always, on podcasts about Mark Zuckerberg are Jamie Loftus and Maggie Mae Fish.
Hi.
How y'all doing?
Oh, we're nice and warm from part one, baby.
Warm from part one and from the delightful internal heating effect of Doritos Blaze.
Yeah, I feel the firmness deep in my belly right next to my uterus. It's just nice. Like,
the powder's coursing through my veins, clogging my bloodstream. Yeah. I could die at any second.
Not clogging, enhancing.
Enhancing.
People
optimizing.
Are dilating.
Optimizing your bloodstream. Now, oh God, that was a good Dorito. Is there a bad Dorito?
No,
there's not. Fantastic. Y'all ready to talk about Marzuck some more?
Let's do it.
Marzuck. Mike Marwin.
Give that a four.
Welcome to Marquin.
Welcome to Marzuck for someone who gets beaten by a Facebook hate mob, which we'll be talking about in part three.
Yeah. Welcome to Marzuck, everyone.
So, the bloom is well and truly off the rose of Facebook in the wake of the 2016 election. Criticizing the social media company has become so common, as of articles declaring that young people have increasingly left the service behind, that it can be very easy to forget just what a darling Facebook was in its early days.
True.
I was a tech journalist in the wild and woolly era of 2010, when Facebook was cracking new number milestones every couple of months. I remember when they hit half a billion and eventually a billion. We would all write articles about Facebook. This many people are on Facebook. This is how much time they're spending. Look at all this great stuff. Now, there was a lot of excitement about what Facebook might mean for the future back then. For most of the tech media, it lasted right up until the election. I found a Business Insider article from 2015 that illustrates this pretty well. It's titled, "The Fabulous Life of Mark Zuckerberg." To give you an idea of its tone, here's a line from the introduction. The Harvard dropout's current net worth is at about $33.4 billion, putting him at number 16 on Forbes' ranking of the world's billionaires. Here's a closer look at the life of the simultaneously down-to-earth yet extravagant CEO. Now, it's this reporter's opinion that no one worth $33 billion can ever be considered down-to-earth. But hey, maybe I got some sour grapes. It is interesting to me that this seems to be a carefully concocted marketing ploy used by Zuckerberg. The first big book about Facebook's founding, the book that was the basis for the movie The Social Network, was titled The Accidental Billionaires. This is something he wants to push.
It is cute.
Yeah. They stumbled into it. Oops.
Yeah. You could be Zuckerberg too.
I wound up with more wealth than most of Africa.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oopsie.
Oopsie toodles.
I can't be doing wrong if I'm this successful.
If I just Mr. Magooed my way into a pile of money the size of the Sears Tower.
I can't even grow a beard, guys.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep making fun of his
There's not actually
face.
As much cash in
Idiot.
Existence as I have in my bank account. Mark Zuckerberg.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, the Business Insider article, with all of its flawed and fawning prose, still provides a decent little look at Zuck's early life. It makes a point of really, really going into Mark's bona fides as a legit smart guy.
He seems to be very sensitive about his intelligence.
The size of his intelligence.
Interesting.
Fun fact, Maggie, I could taste the anger in your voice when
really?
You said that. It was almost like a Dorito.
Almost.
Sorry, I literally can't stop. It's compulsive.
Yeah. Of the things that I've noted, like just having immersed myself in Zuckerness, he is extremely protective of the idea that he is a genius on all things and not just Facebook.
So,
I mean, he's not in Mensa. Sorry.
He's not in Mensa.
Okay, yeah.
Like Jamie Loftus.
Yeah. But
how's that boob thread on Facebook
one
going?
One of us has
I saw the
update. Mensons love Facebook, to be fair. It's where they spread all their hate speech.
Yeah.
It is the platform that they need to have to do that.
Yeah. Oh, they earned it. They paid $75 to take a test on a Sunday. So.
Oh, IQ tests are a bastard almost as terrible as Mark Zuckerberg. But. That'll be for our Stefan Molyneux episode. I'm going to read a quote from that Business Insider article about how smart Mark Zuckerberg
is. I would love to hear.
He wasn't just a computer nerd, though. Zuck loved the classics, The Odyssey and the like, and he became captain of the high school. The Odyssey and the like!
Yes!
And the like!
Yes!
It's like, can picture the writer being like, what's the second book? What's the second book?
What's the second classic book?
Well, and there was an article that I read that was like, he loves the Greek classics, you know, like the Aeneid.
The Aeneid. We'll be talking about that at
Latin.
The very end.
Yeah. That's a Latin classic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a Latin classic. It's actually Roman propaganda written by Virgil so that he could make the case that Octavian had like a deep connection to like Roman history. Like it was literally a propaganda novel to rewrite Roman history in the image of Octavian after Octavian destroyed the fucking Republic.
So, you know, the Greek classics.
The Greek classics. The Greek classics, like this Roman propaganda novel. Yeah.
I hate Harry Potter culture, but there is a very like a disgruntled Hufflepuff vibe to Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah. Like he wants to be in anywhere else.
Mark Huffleberg. Now, the article goes through some of the gushier, us-worthy details of Zuckerberg's charmed life since starting Facebook. For example, here's what it says about his wedding to Priscilla Chan. Green Day's...
No!
Green Day's Billy Joel Armstrong performed and Mark designed Priscilla's ruby ring himself. Green Day performed at their wedding.
And he designed
so
a ring?
And the Accidental Billionaires makes a point of when it's talking about like the place that everyone at Facebook lived in when they all first moved to California, that they were always playing Green Day because they're so into punk rock.
They're like, guys, you heard of this record called Dookie?
Called Dookie?
Fucking Green
Wait,
Day.
Wait, what era? This has to be like post-American Idiot.
It's got to be, right? Yeah, it was like 2005.
Oh, that's how exciting. How exciting.
Real exciting time to be a Green Day fan.
Yeah. God.
Now, the few details about his life that Mark lets out into the public sphere are carefully curated. He's one of the many Silicon Valley CEOs who takes a token $1 a year salary. You'll always hear that. Of course, that number ignores what he makes in stock, and it ignores expenses like the $610,454 Facebook spent in 2014 to charter private jets for Mark and his friends. The Business Insider article and many other Prozac pieces I have read make a lot of hay out of the fact that he doesn't drive a fancy car, instead preferring a Volkswagen GTI that only costs $30,000. Now, if you've got the kind of money Mark Zuckerberg has, I don't think you should have it, but if you got it and you're going to buy a car, you're an idiot if you buy a car that anybody can buy. Get a fucking blimp like that Google guy. At least be cool with it.
I mean, yeah. It's even more sus to get a regular, like, hi, hello, fellow kids. I am just like you.
I drive Volkswagen like you. Right. Motherfucker, all Volkswagens, you have to tape the gas tank back on.
Okay,
the trans drops out.
Where are the bodies?
Yeah. Zuckerberg.
They're somewhere.
Now, while Facebook was expanding and the world was falling in love with Marky Zuck, there were signs that everyone's favorite new tech
billionaire.
There were signs that everyone's favorite new tech billionaire was maybe not the nicest dude to be around. Noah Kagan worked for Facebook for 9 months in 2005, back when the company was first starting its meteoric rise to world dominance. Kagan later wrote an ebook that touched on his experiences there. In it, he recalled Mark Zuckerberg pouring water on an engineer's computer after a product demo that he thought looked like, quote, shit. Here's a quote from Kagan's ebook. While I don't remember the feature we were working on, engineer Chris Putnam and I had spent almost a month building something we thought Mark would love. He walks to Chris's computer and we demo the product to Mark. Mark thought it was shit. I know so because instead of giving product feedback, he screamed, "This is shit! Redo it!" threw water on Chris's computer and walked away. All of us stood around in shock. Kagan also claims that Zuck, like far-right gang leader Gavin McGinnis, has a distinct fondness for samurai swords.
Oh, don't they?
Sword
just open
guy.
With that. We get it now.
I remember my first sword guy. It was before I had the language to identify a sword guy. And I was like, well, I know I feel unsafe, but there's more to it than that.
Yeah. It's more than just a general unease that I have.
I also feel bad for this guy who could so easily kill me with this sword.
With his samurai sword that he bought for $45 at a gas station.
Yeah.
Quote, and bought a stand for it.
They
always buy a stand.
Yeah.
Well, they need you to see it.
You got
to
display
the dick.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is he going to hide it?
No.
He's like, I want you to know exactly what I'm like.
Yeah.
I'm like this.
What I would use to kill you.
I know I look like this guy, but I'm also this guy. Yeah.
Now. Are you guys ready for the samurai sword story?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. This is like when Gaddafi had his astronaut short story. This is the Mark Zuckerberg equivalent of that. Quote, He'd walk around with a samurai sword, fake threatening to attack you for bad work. Where the hell he got that samurai sword, who the hell knows? Luckily, no employees were harmed while I was there. He'd come around and pretend to cut you, joking if you take down the site, he'll chop your head off. You have to remember you have a 23-year-old uber nerd running one of the fastest-growing sites on the web. As mature as he could be, he was also still immature. He had some great motivational lines. With love, he'd say, "If you don't get that done sooner, I will punch you in the face." Or, "I will chop you with this huge sword," while holding a huge sword in hand. But with love, guys.
Oh, it was just like a loving, like,
it was like
this
a loving,
is wild.
"I'm going to cut you with this sword."
Wow. Men in their 20s should have businesses. That's true. Really,
we're great
makes
at
a
it.
Lot of sense.
Well, the thing is that he has stunted his growth. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't realize this because he's living his own life. But from an outside perspective, you cemented yourself as a 22-year-old inept at talking mm-hmm. to people and connecting with people, and you've stopped your life.
Well, yeah. As he learned from his later colleague, he should just lean into that image.
You're
and
right.
Just go for it.
Lean into
crazy
a
enough,
big pile of shit.
The next paragraph starts with Sheryl Sandberg.
Let's get to it.
I do want to share one story about me when I was 23 years old, just for fairness, so I'm not judging okay. Mark for yeah. immaturity. I vomited down an elevator shaft in between the shaft and the wall because I had to puke. I was super drunk, and I knew, okay, I have to puke somewhere. If I puke in this elevator on other people, that's going to be bad.
That's,
but when the door opens,
genius.
I can vomit down.
I respect that. That's innovative thinking.
I didn't want it to hurt too many other people, yeah. but I realize now, as a sober man, I really fucked with some repairs.
Yeah.
That was a bad weekend for him.
No!
Again, not a good person here, but better than Mark Zuckerberg, which is a low bar.
Yeah, and also you learned, which...
Let's not go that far.
Oh, okay,
far. Let's
okay.
Not go
I
that
don't
far.
Actually,
stealing
I take that back.
Light
take
bulbs.
That back.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, yeah, I am still right, a ruined... Right. Ruin of a human being.
The Santa Monica light bulb yeah. bandit.
But I don't have a business like, for good reason. Sophie
good
manages
reason.
The podcast.
For good reason.
Yeah. In 2008, Facebook hired Sheryl Sandberg, the author of Lean In, and
yes,
generally as
queen.
Slimy as a bucket
in.
Of lube.
Let capitalism queen go off.
Go yeah. off. Hashtag girl boss.
Oh my God. The girl boss narrative is my favorite narrative.
There's a great podcast y'all should listen to. It's not on our network, but it's great. It's Ooh. Called The Dream, and it's about MLMs. And it talks about an MLM that's all based on the hashtag girl boss lean in shit. Super, super interesting.
Yes, women mm-hmm. can yeah. also destroy the world.
Yeah, yeah. Us yes. too. Us too.
We
ladies.
Can eat the planet too.
Yeah, we
Sophia,
can be just as bad.
I'm a Russo, go off.
Did you guys yeah. hear women are running the CIA now?
I did.
Hashtag feminist death sites. Yeah.
Oh.
Listen, give us a chance to buy into this power structure.
We waterboard with LaCroix now.
But we still waterboard.
Mm-hmm. We're tons of people.
We're like, yeah. we're guys, gals. We still waterboard.
Yeah.
Listen, I actually get along better with guys than I do with girls.
It's really weird. I guess
I waterboard
like
them better,
guys.
Too.
Actually, it's just so weird. I'm like, guys, I know like I'm going to sound like one of those girls, but I actually like think Mark is really nice, and he's just like kind of misunderstood.
You know what? I like agree with that, and let's shun all other women that disagree with us.
They're kind let's of like bitchy girls. You
yeah.
know? Like, ugh.
We shouldn't hire them anyways.
This podcast will not go into nearly enough detail on Miss Sandberg, but we will talk about her in the future. Yeah. At the time, Sandberg's job was to be the adult in the room at Facebook, to reassure the investors and the world that this bro-y frat robot suddenly harvesting data from millions of people was being managed by competent, thoughtful human beings who would act responsibly with the great power placed Oof. In their hands.
Sheryl Sandberg does at least a very good impression of a human being.
Super
yeah,
good impression.
Yeah, she does a really good job. It's what yes. The new dictator is a mm-hmm. woman with a smile on her face.
It's one of her strengths.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. yeah, always a white woman with a smile
yeah,
on her face.
Yeah, always a white woman.
Oh, yeah, and the whitest woman.
The whitest yes. woman and a big smile. The frontline interview. Mm-hmm. One of the representatives that they sent, that's basically all she did was smile and mm-hmm. say, oh, yeah, we know. And we're
we
listening.
Know. And we're
we
listening.
Know. And we're listening.
We know we fucked up. We're listening.
Mm-hmm. Corporate feminism. Buy soap.
Yeah. Buy soap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, in 2006, Facebook introduced the news feed, that infinitely scrolling thingy that has replaced the way roughly 40% of Americans get their news. The timeline was programmed with a distinct preference for controversial content by virtue of the fact that people were most likely to chat about things that made them angry or scared. They were also more likely to share articles that angered or scared them.
Ooh, skanked.
Skanked.
Skanked
them.
Yeah.
Skanked them.
I feel skanky reading this.
Oh, did you ever mm-hmm. skank, like in high school, like the ska dance?
You know what? Ska is my favorite genre, but I have never been to a show or dance.
I felt like for sure you had like busted a
skank.
I was
not a rude boy. No.
Man.
But I man. Streetlight Manifesto is maybe my favorite band. They're fucking great. Fantastic band.
They're great.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's not too late.
It's not too late.
Not too never not too late too to late. Skank.
No? Not too never too late to skank. Thomas Kalnacki, if you're listening, sponsor the show. I don't think you have any money because you're a ska musician. But you're great.
Hey, if you're listening, give us 5 stars on iTunes.
You know what? We'll give you we'll give you some money.
Yeah. Get a Dorito. Yeah.
Send us your Venmo.
Send us your Venmo. You might we feel like you could probably use the help. So, when the news feed launched, Facebook also made a change to its privacy policies in order to make the news feed work better.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the New Yorker. Quote, unless you wrestled with a set of complicated settings, vastly more of your information, possibly including your name, your gender, your photograph, your list of friends, would be made public by default. Now, that New Yorker article was published in 2010 after some of those unpleasant chats between Zuckerberg and his friends about all of his weasel behavior. You know, after all those chats and stuff went public, like this article came out. The author of the article is a guy named Jose Antonio Vargas, and he's a good journalist, I think. I think it's a good article. He spent some time with Zuckerberg, and when the subject of privacy came up, this happened. And I'm going to quote the entire bit from the article because it's fantastic. Privacy, he told me, is the third rail issue online. A lot of people who are worried, and this is Zuck talking, a lot of people who are worried about privacy and those kinds of issues will take any minor misstep that we make and turn it into as big a deal as possible, he said. He then excused himself as he typed on his iPhone 4, answering a text from his mother. We realize that people will probably criticize us for this for a long time, but we believe this is the right thing to do. Zuckerberg and I talked about the first time I signed up for Facebook in September 2006. Users are asked to check a box to indicate whether they're interested in men or women. I told Zuckerberg that it took me a few hours to decide which box to check. If I said on Facebook that I'm a man interested in men, all my Facebook friends, including relatives, coworkers, sources, some of whom might not approve of homosexuality, would see it. So what did you end up doing? Zuckerberg asked. I put men. That's interesting. No one has done a study on this, as far as I can tell, but I think Facebook might be the first place where a large number of people have come out, he said. We didn't create that. Society was generally ready for that. He went on, I think this is just part of the general trend that we talked about society being more open, and I think that's good. Then I told Zuckerberg that. 2 weeks later, I removed the check and left the boxes blank. A couple of relatives who were Facebook friends had asked about my sexuality, and, at that time at least, I didn't want all my professional sources to know that I am gay. Is it still out? Zuckerberg asked. Yeah, it's still out. He responded with a flat, huh, dropped his shoulders, and stared at me, looking genuinely concerned and somewhat puzzled. Facebook had asked me to publish a personal detail that I was not ready to share.
Huh.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting bit of insight there.
That's a crossroads for Lil Zuck.
For Lil Zucky Zuck.
And I think it points to how stupid I think he is, that he can't think of other situations until they're in his face. Like, until his face is shoved into it.
And
he
also
can't
seems
really
like
it.
A very, like, straight white guy attitude of just, like, I mean, I think we come up against this all the time is just, like, stuff that truly didn't occur to him. Like, not even malicious at this point. Just, like, I just... I still prioritize my money over your privacy, but that sucks, dude. That's like a lot of what he says. Yeah.
Now, I found this particularly fascinating in light of a Daily Beast article I read back in 2015, How Facebook Exposes Domestic Violence Survivors. The article is, as you'd expect, about a bunch of people whose abusers were able to get in touch with them and start harassing them again because Facebook required those women to use their real names to start Facebook accounts.
Oof.
Quote, of the major social networking services, Facebook alone requires users to use an authentic name listed on an acceptable form of identification, such as a driver's license, a passport, or a bill. LinkedIn's user agreement asks for a real name, but does not specify any required documentation. Twitter, Instagram, and, as of 2014, Google Plus all allow pseudonyms. This has also been an issue for transgender people.
Sex workers as well.
A lot of people get who Mark never considered.
Right.
And because almost everyone working at Facebook was another white guy, was not...
No one there because
it's never prioritized.
And this will be a problem that will crop up when we start talking about the genocide being enabled by Facebook. But it's an issue when you run a company this big that impacts the lives of this many people and you don't hire folks specifically to be like, oh, I'm a member of this particular community and this might be an issue for, say, gay men because you, Mark Zuckerberg, don't realize that this is the thing we have to deal with.
Yeah.
It's an online nation and he thinks that he can be the leader of it without caring about any of the people
I mean,
in it.
what don't you learn about the world as the son of a wealthy dentist who goes to Harvard?
Oh my God,
an accident.
Oh my God, you're right.
You're right.
You're so right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, he's
you're
woke.
Right.
He's there,
he knows. He's extremely woke.
Yeah. Yeah.
There, it is crazy that, I mean, you would think the second that you have this wide of a reach, you would prioritize getting people with different perspectives in, or it's almost like your product will turn on you at
yeah.
some point.
Yeah. Well, it's the ego that he has, that he yeah. is unwilling to confront and hides at all costs.
Yeah.
He plays the philanthropist, the, like, I care about the people when
join my book club.
Yeah, join my book club. Let's learn together. Let me listen. Let me go across the world and listen so you'll elect me for president.
Oh. The only book club I'm interested in joining, mm-hmm. Maggie. Yeah. Jamie, mm-hmm. is the Doritos book club.
Oh! Yeah.
What is it this month?
It's actually Tribe by Sebastian Younger. Fantastic book.
Oh, wow.
Really good book about PTSD. I recommend
oh,
cool. it.
Oh.
Doritos recommends it, too.
Thank wow. you, Dorito. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah. Ads. It's ads time.
Oh, okay.
That's what that was a lead into.
Mm,
products!
Products.
And we're back talking about podcast products, services, Facebook. All right, let's get back into it. Mm. For the most part, up through the early aughts, Mark Zuckerberg's brand in most of the world remained quite strong. He was the genius who changed the way the world communicated, and he seemed like such a humble, down-to-earth guy. In 2010, he was even given a guest star role on The Simpsons. He played a bit part. Lisa is trying to convince Nelson to stay in school rather than drop out to focus on his business. They meet Mark Zuckerberg at some sort of expo thing, and he goes on a little rant about how all of the great innovators in the tech industry dropped out of school, which is true.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say this. I think this is another example where it's really easy for a guy like Mark. If you're a coder, fuck college.
Which I am.
Why do you need to go to college? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Jamie's a hacker.
You're a hacker
and
that coder. Coder.
But yeah.
It's the same thing, like, as a writer. You can get a writing degree and get a journalism degree, but you could also just start writing, and it's the nature of the business that if you get stuff published, that starts your career too.
Yeah.
It's not like that for everybody. Mm-hmm. If you're an electrician, kind of got to get some training. If you're a surgeon, kind of got
to
go to school.
That's why we're in faker professions.
Yeah. That's why we're in professions where you can be a faker. Yeah.
In my experience.
A hack and a fraud. Yeah.
In my experience, someone could be like, so you have a degree in journalism? And you go,
aha.
And then they're like, sounds good.
Yeah. You'll never look it up.
Do you have a degree in journalism? No. Okay, good. Then you're clearly a journalist.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah.
So. Anyway, a little rant there. Now, 2010 was a time in which Zuckerberg and his ideas were the toast of Silicon Valley. And what did Mark believe? In 2010, he sat for an interview with TechCrunch. They pressed him on the matter of other people trusting him with their data. Hmm. Quote, when I got started in my dorm room at Harvard, the question a lot of people asked was, why would I want to put any information on the internet at all? Why would I want to have a website? And then in the last 5 or 6 years, blogging has taken off in a huge way, and all these different services that have people sharing all this information. People have really gotten comfortable, not only sharing more information in different kinds, but more openly and with more people. That social norm is just something that has evolved over time. We view it as our role in the system to constantly be innovating and be updating what our system is to reflect what the current social norms are. Mm. I'm not pushing society. I'm changing Facebook
right.
to adapt to the changing social norm of selling your data to companies. Mm-hmm.
Well, the funny thing, I've now realized that Zuckerberg says a lot like, you know, like, I want to bring the world together.
Yeah.
But that is code for I want the world's information.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want every single person to be on my website so I have their information. I have their contacts.
I got
to
steal all of
the
Facebook
pictures.
Yeah,
I got to steal all of them. All of them.
It is weird to me, like, how long, and I don't know at what point this occurred to you. It took me a long time to figure out what the concept of data mining and big data was and like what it meant. Because when I was in college, I was like, well, who would want my data? I don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Like all I have is student debt. Like who cares if they have my data because I have nothing to hide and I have nothing. So who cares? And I was a copywriter for big data companies for 6 months,
uh-huh.
would write 10,000 words a day about big data and still couldn't understand why. I'm like, who gives a fuck unless you have money? But now I feel like now it's very easy. But this was like 5 years ago. I had no fucking clue.
Yeah.
And it was my job to know. So
it
I
didn't,
guess I'm bad at my job.
It didn't make sense. We all have
You're
other
a true
shit
journalist.
Going on.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
No, I do say there's a great Frontline documentary. You just look up Frontline Facebook on YouTube. It's all up there. Mm-hmm. That there's a journalist on there who was like the first person to like request a copy of his data from Facebook
and
realized how much was being logged.
Mm-hmm.
Another good journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Solid play. Because again, I was the same way. I didn't pay any attention to what was happening.
I did not care
no.
one iota.
There was shit going on.
Yeah. And when you're taking, like, I don't know, like, especially in the era that was super asinine where you're like, you've got bumper stickers and there's, you're taking quizzes all the time. And you're like, well, what would people do with this information? And now I can't watch Bandersnatch without being like, they're taking my opinions on Frosted Flakes and selling
me. Because this is the next, what's good? Yeah.
Right.
TV's now going to sell me personalized ads.
Well, and I do think Netflix is making a big mistake with, like, focusing on, like, ah, this many people watched the fucking Bird Box movie. It's like, well, it's as successful as Black Panther. No, because nobody had to pay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no one would have seen. Bird Box would have made $7 at the box office.
You're not making money at Netflix yet.
Yeah, 45 million people saw a cumulative 18 minutes of Bird Box where they were cooking, checking their phone, and pooping.
And wait, like, what? What are the rules of this world? Why?
They put birds in a box, guys, and I think that makes it worth our time.
I do think that quote from the TechCrunch interview maps out Mark's ideology pretty well. The world wants to be more connected. His only job is delivering that connectivity, and as long as Facebook is connecting more people faster, he does not need to worry about anything else. This was mapped out even more eloquently by the company motto, based on a quote by Mark himself. Move fast and break things. Mm-hmm. Unless you are breaking stuff, you aren't moving fast enough. Now, the title of this episode, part two, is Move Fast, and the title of part three... is break things.
Oh, he
we'll
does
be talking
both.
About that little genocide.
That's
little
the way I live my life. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Nothing touches me.
The way a lot of
me.
People have ended their lives now.
Ha ha.
Now, it is important to understand that at every level, Facebook, the organization, is programmed to work this way. I'd like to quote from a great CNBC article with the revealing title, "Inside Facebook's Cult-Like Workplace Where Dissent is Discouraged and Employees Pretend to Be Happy All the Time." Solid title. Really lays it all out.
It's like it sounds like one of those really long Fiona Apple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, ooh. You're about to tell me a lot of stuff, Fiona.
I'm ready.
Quote, "Employees feel pressure to place the company above all else in their lives, fall in line with their manager's orders, and force cordiality with their colleagues so that they can advance. Several former employees liken the culture to a cult. This culture has contributed to the company's well-publicized wave of scandals over the last 2 years, such as government spreading misinformation to try to influence elections and the misuse of private user data, according to many people who worked there during this period. They say Facebook might have caught some of these problems sooner if employees were encouraged to deliver honest feedback." But you can't deliver honest feedback if you're moving fast and breaking shit.
You can't deliver honest feedback with a fucking katana at your neck either.
Well, and also, why would you tell someone, "I think this product that we're about to launch might break something," if you're part of half of your job is to break things?
Right. You're encouraged to.
Yeah.
Right.
In Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook, employees rate each other, and then managers give them final grades that determine whether or not they'll be promoted, fired, or given raises.
He never learns a lesson.
Never, ever. I've quoted BoJack Horseman once before in this show, but
another one
of the truest fucking things that show ever pointed out. It's one of the characters is an agent saying that the age in which you get rich is the age in which your growth is forever stunted. So if you're rich at 20, you're 20 forever.
Yes, that is very true.
100% accurate.
I believe that.
Buy a shirt at TeePublic so that I can stop aging at age 30 and buy my own blimp.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, that's a good age
to stop.
I'm still optimistic.
I'm mature enough. You want to have a light bulb fight after this? I've got some vodka.
That light bulb steel and spirit.
I'm not keeping the light bulbs. I just like the way they shatter when you throw them at people.
That's better. You're right. You're right.
It's way better. I'm not taking these light bulbs. I don't want them.
Cricket. Cricket.
I don't need your judgment, Maggie.
Robert, do you do this in groups or solo?
Yeah, I do it in groups.
No, can we join?
Okay. Yeah, it's a fun
thing. I'll come along next time. Yeah. This could go a lot of dirt. If you're doing it alone, it's like...
just drunkenly throwing light bulbs at strangers. No, I throw light bulbs at people I love.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you show people
you
love.
It's a show of affection. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this sounds very
just
ethical.
Like at the ground next to them, so it like, it's like a little puff. It's fun.
Like firecrackers.
I didn't do this to be judged, okay? I'm not going to suck.
You did it to feel something.
It's going to be a great behind the bastards.
You can be unethical and still be legal. That's the way I live my life.
What if I prefer to be ethical but illegal?
Right. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's the right course.
Yeah. Treat people well, break the law.
In
laws aren't people.
So.
Yeah. Now, So employees rate each other. Managers give them final grades that determine whether or not they'll be promoted, fired, or given raises. These grades are issued by quota, so managers are pressured to underrate perfectly good employees just because the quota of good employees has already been met. It sounds like a stressful mess. The article goes into substantial detail about the review process. This quote in particular stood out to me. Quote, "These twice-yearly reviews encourage employees to be particularly productive around June and December, working nights and weekends as they race to impress bosses before reviews, which are typically completed in August and February. It's especially true in December, the half Facebook predominantly uses to determine which employees will receive promotions. This rush causes employees to focus on short-term goals and push out features that drive user engagement and improve their own metrics without fully considering the potential long-term negative impacts on user experience or privacy," multiple former employees said.
Wow.
Sick. Move fast. Wow. Break the world.
Oof. Wow. It sounds like a guy that's too dumb to run a company.
Sounds like 20-year-olds shouldn't have much responsibility.
Ooh. Yeah. He was stunted at like...
at like age 20. Yeah.
At 19, age 20.
20, something
uh-huh.
like that.
Man. Yeah. Learn something all the time from that show about the sad horse.
About the sad horse.
Wow. Sad depressed horse show.
The depressed horse show has some truth in it.
It's true.
Yeah. And horses are inherently sad. You never see a horse living on land and like looking happy.
You ever seen a horse die? Bum.
Yes.
Me too.
Oh no.
Sad. Wolf is the same horse.
Both there.
Barbara and I were like, we killed a horse.
Yeah. Jamie Loftus and I murdered a horse. And
have a light bulb.
You're not gonna believe how we became horse.
In our defense, the horse started it.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Cricket.
Very
cricket.
Sad horse.
So, Mark Zuckerberg has never wasted much time worrying about the consequences of his actions. He's more of an ask questions later kind of guy. And as he aged into a tech titan, Mark Zuckerberg remained pretty cavalier about people's privacy. This would all come to a dangerous head for the first time in 2007 with a Facebook product called Beacon. I'd like to quote from a book titled, appropriately enough, Move Fast and Break Things, which is a really good book about all of these monsters. But not just Zucky
Zuck. Like all Silicon Valley bros?
Yeah, yeah. This was essentially an alert system that told your friends you had purchased something on a partner site. It was built as an opt-out system, so you had to actively tell Facebook each time you didn't want the site to broadcast your purchase to all your friends. It was a total disaster from the outset, but Whoa. Zuckerberg was so confident that he knew better than his users that he refused to turn it off for many weeks while the PR disaster escalated. Eventually, he relented and posted a mea culpa on his blog, saying, "We've made a lot of mistakes building this feature, but we've made even more with how we've handled them." Despite Zuckerberg's regret and a payment of $9.5 million for a class action suit over Beacon, many who worked with him feel he doesn't really understand privacy. Charlie Cheever, one of his key programmers, told Kirkpatrick, who's some guy, "I feel that Mark doesn't believe in privacy that much, or at least believes in privacy as a stepping stone to radical transparency."
Wow. The way he put out that press release is the same way he talked to the guy that he fucked over.
Yeah.
This is my, like, I am so sorry. Mm. I did something wrong here.
I did something wrong here.
So go away.
So
stop
go
looking
away.
At me. Yeah.
Here's money. It we'll means nothing to me.
Yeah.
It never has.
Who cares?
I've always been rich and always will be.
Yeah.
We'll have it resolved within the year. Parentheses, ear.
Yeah.
Year.
Year.
Yes.
Year.
Now, radical transparency is a buzz term Mark brings up whenever he needs a high-minded ideological justification for doing precisely whatever the fuck he wants. In 2012, whatever the fuck he wants included fucking with people's emotions just to see if that was possible. Here is a quote from the hilariously named PNAS Scientific Journal, and it's PNAS, but what else could I call it?
Oh, bless their hearts.
It's the Penis Journal. It's a very serious scientific journal.
It's the big dick dirt journal.
The big swinging dick of science.
Which way swinging the dick of science?
Slap.
We all got slapped with science's swinging dick on this one.
If you don't go with the swings, you're going to get slapped.
Here's PNAS.
Oh, no.
Oh, nice. In an experiment with people who use Facebook, we test whether emotional contagion occurs outside of in-person interaction between individuals by reducing the amount of emotional content in the newsfeed. When positive expressions were reduced, people produced fewer positive posts and more negative posts. When negative expressions were reduced, the opposite pattern occurred. These results indicate that the emotions expressed by others on Facebook influence our own emotions, constituting experimental evidence for massive-scale contagion via social networks. A.K.A. We used Facebook to see if we could make people sad. And we can!
And it worked!
It worked!
Yay. Now, the researchers who carried out this study had previously studied real-life social networks to, you know, to study the same sort of emotional contagion, but with, like, actual groups of friends and whatnot. You know, your buddy's sad, she calls you, he calls you, and you know, you get sad, too. This is the way people have always worked. They then went to Facebook to see if the social network was down to play guinea pig with its users. Facebook totally was. They and their researchers found, quote, emotional states can be transferred to others via emotional contagion, leading people to experience the same emotions without their awareness. In other words, they proved that emotional states like anger or hopelessness could be spread via Facebook. Facebook proved this by determining what kinds of content got pushed to the timelines of each of its users, effectively manipulating their emotions just to see if it was possible. People got angry. Facebook responded with faux regret, and Mark Zuckerberg kept pretty quiet about this whole thing. But if you followed the guy's history and intellectual development, you can understand why an experiment like this would be pretty in line with his past behavior.
It's just another, like, woman versus cow situation.
Right. It's if one girl is deemed unhot, then other people will agree unhot. And
right. And then we'll just reshape what is hot.
Yeah.
So that's fun. What else is fun is products, also services, consumable items that you can spend money on and then have in your home.
The big swinging dick of capitalism.
The big sticks of the swinging dicks.
Mm-hmm. Or the hanging labia.
The hanging labia. Yes,
the heavy labia of
all
capitalism.
All those wonderful women CEOs who seem to love other women and care about people.
If you want to support the heavy swinging labia that support this show, buy these products. We're back. Maggie Mae Fish just said something through a mouthful of Doritos.
I did.
I'm about to do the same.
Yeah. Oh man. Better than a swinging labia. I'd rather lick these.
Yes. In June 2013, while Facebook was in the midst of playing with their users' emotions, Glenn Greenwald published an article to The Guardian based on Edward Snowden's releases. The article revealed that the National Security Agency had been given access to huge amounts of data from Facebook, Google, Apple, and several other major internet companies. When Mark Zuckerberg was asked about Glenn Greenwald's article, he said, "Frankly, the government blew it," and lamented that the state had done a bad job of protecting privacy. Pretty bold, Mark!
Wow!
Pretty bold.
A wide swing.
You know what? Just because it's so bold, I'll give him that one.
Yeah.
Now, in March of 2015, The Guardian broke what would turn out to be a critically important story. Millions of Americans' personal data had been harvested through a Facebook app without their knowledge and handed off to a little company called Cambridge Analytica. In an interview Mark Zuckerberg gave with Recode in 2018, he swore that as soon as Facebook was alerted to the harvesting of their user data by Cambridge Analytica's Alexander Kogan, quote, "We immediately shut down the app, took away his profile, and demanded certification that the data was deleted." However, further reporting from The Guardian showed that Facebook didn't suspend Kogan or Cambridge Analytica until March of 2018, like 2 or 3 months before the interview in which Zuckerberg swore they'd banned his ass back in 2015. Yeah. Now, I'd say it has been proven beyond much doubt that Mark Zuckerberg's attitude about the value of other people's privacy has not changed much since the days when he stole people's pictures to build an app where kids could vote on which of their female classmates was hotter than a cow. Thankfully, we know how Mark Zuckerberg and the other Facebook top brass really feel about the value of their users' privacy. Last year, the British government released an enormous cache of internal company emails to the public. The data included this bit from 2012. I'm going to quote Recode's fantastic coverage, and Kara Swisher with Recode has done some of the best reporting on Mark Zuckerberg and the best holding of his in the frontline documentary.
Oh, is that her?
When he's sweating
That is
she's
a must-see.
Fucking great. Yeah. Kara Swisher is a great journalist doing really good shit in the tech industry. Of the tech journalists, she's like she's solid.
Excellent.
I'm going to quote Recode's coverage. In 2012, Zuckerberg suggested that Facebook charge some outside developers for accessing and collecting data on users through the company's APIs, software that allows Facebook to share data with other apps. If we make it so devs can generate revenue for us in different ways, that makes it more acceptable for us to charge them quite a bit more for using the platform, Zuckerberg wrote. He suggested that developers could offset these charges by spending money on Facebook ads. Now, Facebook said they didn't actually go through with that, but the fact that Mark Zuckerberg himself suggested doing the same thing Cambridge Analytica would do 3 years later suggests he probably was not that offended by the concept. Mark published a Facebook post to address this and other revelations. Quote, Like any organization, we had a lot of internal discussion and people raised different ideas. Ultimately, we decided on a model where we continued to provide the developer platform for free and developers could choose to buy ads if they wanted. This model has worked well. Other ideas we considered but decided against included charging developers for usage of our platform, similar to how developers pay to use Amazon, AWS, or Google Cloud. To be clear, that's different from selling people's data. We've never sold anyone's data. But it kind of sounds like that's exactly what Facebook did. Here's Recode. Quote, in some cases, Facebook granted other businesses like Netflix and Lyft special permission to access information that other companies didn't have. So they didn't sell data directly, but people who paid Facebook a shitload in ad dollars got access to more user data, which they didn't pay for, but they got access to because they were paying more money to Facebook, which is different from paying for data because a lawyer can argue that.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Well, when you lay it out like that, it makes perfect sense.
It's legally distinct from selling access to people's data. And I'm sure it is in a court of law until it's proven not. Hopefully, when we get
until,
the guillotines up.
Yeah, it's like until the laws need to be made to make the distinction clear.
Yeah.
To make it a crime, what they did, which I think is ethically, it's like a crime in the hearts of any decent person. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we know how Zucky feels about ethics.
Zucky Zuck.
Oh, we know how he lives his life, haha.
So, that article also revealed that companies that Facebook found threatening to their bottom line had their access to user data restricted. Quote, when Twitter launched the video service Vine in 2012, Facebook cut off access to its friend graph. That meant users who signed up for Vine with their Facebook account couldn't see and connect with all of their Facebook friends inside Vine, an ability that would have theoretically helped Vine create a network much faster.
Yeah.
I don't feel that sorry for Twitter either, but, you know, it's just crap.
God, I mean, imagine. I mean, and Vine still managed to happen.
Yeah.
In spite of it all. Yeah. The Paul brothers are thriving.
You know what, though? Vine is how Alex Jones finally flamed out, and I'll always be grateful for that.
Oh, really?
He was vining when he was on Capitol Hill shouting at people.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was very sad to see, huh? Mm. In a good way.
That was a fun day. That was a fun day watching the news. Yeah. Now, the emails that have been revealed make it clear that Zuck's issue was never with the selling of data. He doesn't give one fuck about that. He did seem to care a lot about the fact that he wasn't able to charge people to steal his customers' data. In another email Zuckerberg sent in 2012, he complained that, quote, not charging still means people will overuse and abuse our APIs and waste money for us. I think we should implement some kind of program where you have to pay if you use too many of our resources. So, by 2015, there was a lot of shady stuff out in the world about Mark Zuckerberg, but the lion's share of the coverage of the man and his brain baby was still unfailingly positive. Mm-hmm. That 2015 Business Insider article that I keep gleefully quoting is only one example of a big fat pile of similar content. Articles about Mark during this period tended to emphasize his casual dress and down-to-earth personality. Many included a quote from Tyler Winklevoss, stating that Mark is the poorest-looking rich guy he's ever seen. Since Tyler Winklevoss was literally born a millionaire, I'm not super trusting that he's a good judge of how poor people look.
Yeah! What? This is... Oh,
he wears a hoodie and not a $9,000 suit.
Winklevoss is like, well, not to make too fine a point on it, but Mark Zuckerberg looks like shit.
And he looks like the guy who fixed my toilet the one time that the rich person plumber wasn't available. Here's another quote from that fantastic Business Insider article. But despite his billions, Zuck seems incredibly down to earth.
Despite his billions, you can't do that.
He holds regular town hall style Q&A sessions where he chats with regular people from all around the world. I want to show you guys a shot from one that took place in May. Maggie, I think you're the person to describe this.
Do you just want a clip of me crying?
He's just a man of the people.
Just a man of the people, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh,
my God.
He's just beating people to...
He knows our struggles.
Someone's doing a shaka.
Someone's doing a shaka.
I did read during this time he was like posting on Facebook about all his meetings, and there's a post where he realizes in real time that slavery still has lasting impacts.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We really got to watch him grow up.
Yeah. It's real sad.
How many of those people do you think are wax statues?
He keeps
plants. Just one, Mark Zuckerberg. I will note that there are not very many black men in the audience, but one of the few is right next to Mark.
That's,
arm around him.
Yeah, the ones that... I don't know how they asked that in the room, but somehow they got him to come to the front and surround Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. 2015 would be Mark Zuckerberg's last full year as being seen as mostly a good guy by the outside world. The 2016 election brought questions of fake news and Russian propaganda being spread through the social network. I've wanted to ground these episodes as much as possible on Mark Zuckerberg the man before we get into the terrible consequences of some of his actions. Because the fact of the matter is that Facebook is a tool and a tool someone was going to build at some point. There is no version of networked humanity where we don't end up with something like this at some point. But Mark Zuckerberg is the first guy who got it right. And as a result, his personal characteristics have had a huge impact on how this colossus has impacted the world. Now tomorrow, in part three, we're going to discuss exactly how Facebook, a Mark Zuckerberg production, has changed our world. Throughout parts one and two, we've talked about him moving fast. In part three, we're going to talk about what he broke. So, everybody ready?
Let's do it.
You got to plug a pluggable.
Okay. You can find me on Zuckerberg platform Instagram at Jamie Cry Superstar. You can find me on Jack's website at Jamie Loves His Help, and listen to the Bechdel cast on Tim's platform.
Yeah. That's a lot of man's names. Owning a lot of the internet. You can also find me on all these male-dominated spaces on Twitter and Instagram, Maggie May Fish. Yeah.
You can find me inside of any bag of Doritos you buy, because therein my spirit resides.
Haunting.
You can find us on the gram and on Twitter at BastardsPod. You can find us on the internet at BehindTheBastards.com. Do that. We're on every Tuesday. We sell t-shirts on TeePublic. We sell cups. We sell posters, stickers. We sell... They're not technically living sentient beings, but they've been engineered to serve you, and they don't have any legal rights yet, so it's fine. So yeah, all of that on TeePublic.
That sounds on the up and up.
On the up and up, yeah, right. Yep. Episode tomorrow.